Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Poetry with Flavor. This is your host, Miss Lucy. Don't forget, be kind with your words, and please interact with me if you have a comment or a question. I do want to start by saying I am really struggling this evening with my pollen allergy and several cups of tea, gargling, and even taking some honey before this podcast began hasn't made any change in my throat. So if it gets to be too much, I'm going to end the program a little earlier, and I hope you don't mind. I want to start off by saying, sharing something from the news, and I really do look for good news, but I'm kind of overwhelmed today by the mass shooting in Nashville, Tennessee, a school shooting. Three young children and three adults, teachers or staff members at the school in Nashville, were killed today. And the shooter was a 28-year-old white lady who was at one time a student at that school. And I'm telling you, we need to stay constantly on our knees in prayer, because there's so much, I don't know what to call it, tell you the truth, so much chaos going on in our world right now. And then I think about, I forgot the name of the city, the town, Rolling Fork, Mississippi, was literally wiped out by tornadoes yesterday. And it's just, I'm sure you've seen it on the news, it's beyond devastating. It wasn't just a few houses, it was the town just flattened, not just small homes, but the huge buildings like libraries and courthouses, and just wiped out. And there were some deaths. I don't know the number, but I just can't imagine. So much is out of sync in our world today. So send up a prayer. Send up hundreds of prayers, because we need help. Okay. Let me start with I'll just do this. I'm sorry, you all. Let me read the bond. I think, what's the matter, Mo?
Say good evening.
I don't know if you can hear, she's
whining.
The barn. This was my, and really the only attempt I've made so far with trying to write a flash fiction, which can be, flash fiction is just a very, a full story told in very few words, I'll put it that way. And they can be from 50 words to 1,000 words or more. But this was my first attempt. Now I'm going to read it, and I'm really reading it for myself again, because I really wanted to do more of flash fiction. Okay. It was a small, not, it's called The Barn, I'm sorry. Mo just sneezed, sorry. Mo has allergies too. Okay. The barn. It was a small, nondescript farm that sat about a quarter of a mile back from the main road. You had to park on the side of the road and walk up the hill on a dirt path to access the house. There was a house, a barn, an outhouse, a small chicken coop with about 12 chickens and two roosters, a spring water well, a cow, and a mule. Small plots of corn, beans, potatoes, and tobacco dotted the land. If you didn't know it was there, it would go unnoticed. But it seems lots of people from around the county knew where it was. They would come to the farm bringing their family members to her as if she were a licensed medical doctor. If they had rashes or coughs or some other mystery illness, they headed straight to her farm. They called her a healer, a root doctor. She would take them down the muddy path strewn with rocks that zigzag downhill away from the back of the house. The path led to a weathered barn where they cured the tobacco leaves. The air was thick with the aromatic scent of tobacco. Only she and the person that was ill would enter through the large 6-plank-wide door of the barn. The family members would wait outside, taking a seat on one of several wooden stools and crates alongside the barn. Sometimes the wait was short. Sometimes the wait was long. Some would try to peer in through the gaps in the slats of the wood-frame building to no avail. Their view was obstructed by the hanging tobacco leaves, as well as any sound in the barn was muffled by the denseness of the hundreds of leaves. When she emerged from the barn, the person was whole again, healed of whatever the infirmity was or would be in 2 or 3 days. They said she sure could work them roots. They said she could fix or undo anything, whatever mystical, magical, or godly or ungodly thing my ex-mother-in-law did. She did it well because the people kept coming. I have my suspicions that she took my marriage into that barn and undid it with her mojo. Okay. This is called Nuff Said. It stems from the home, Mama says. Yeah, the White House, I say. Wedding dress must be virginal white. Bridal cakes with white icing. Formal invitations on embossed white paper. Business stationery, bless you, most needed stationery, more authoritative on white. Diplomas printed on white, tied with a gold ribbon. White hospital walls and gowns more sanitary. Bleach the wheat to make white bread. Bleach the grain to make white rice. Devil's food cake is chocolate, and angel's food cake is white. Sell your women in ads that lie and entice. Playboy whores are called ladies, and gentlemen prefer blondes who wear white shoulders perfume. Blondes do have more fun when they've shampooed with white rain. Pale hands wearing white diamonds at the expense of bent black backs. The Star of Africa fitted in a crown worn on the head of a pale-faced queen. White knights to the rescue as black children ask white Santa for their dreams. white angels on the Christmas tree, their hair falling in streams, protected by militarily dressed white soldiers, parading as nutcrackers, whose job it is to crush black and brown nuts, especially those ones called niggatos. European education for all to learn how to be white or create desire to be white. Blue-eyed Jesus and white Christian religion used to pacify and enslave. Communion given in church covered in white drapes to receive a white wafer to cleanse your filthy black soul. Elegant dining is when waiters wear white gloves and serve food on white doilies, and white Easter Bunny brings white chocolate candy, and white collar jobs are symbols of success. In the game of pool, the objective is to knock the black eight ball into the pocket, and your dictionary definition of white says it is pure, innocent, and spotless. So I guess little white lies are harmless, like black Mickey Mouse has the tibio and the bad guys wear black hats, and white witches are good ones and black witches are evil, and the white smoke from your cigarettes won't ruin my lungs. And it's okay to say New World Order when it looks the same to me. White faces in charge of a world full of faces of color, and black is only good for funerals. Enough said. Can you all give me 1 minute? Mo is barking and sneezing, and I see that her water dish is very low. I'm going to put some water in her dish. Be right back.
Come on. There you go. I'm sorry, baby. Here you go. Take your water.
Okay, I'm sorry. I had to get her some water. Okay. Okay. This is called Don't You Be No Fool. Lord, this is written way back in the 60s. Don't be no fool and believe that the brother on the corner, brown bagged bottle in hand, ain't worth spit. It's the game of the man to turn brother against brother, child against mother. Divide and conquer is the plan. And they will stand on our backs forever, unless we are clever enough to extend a helping hand. Okay.
Mm.
Was it okay? Did you like that one?
Yeah, I like the other one better. And the reason I like the other one better is because of the foolishness that these people are doing now, trying to deny our culture. And deny we made any contribution to history.
Exactly.
It's time for us to step up to the plate and quit lamenting over what they are doing to us. We have the ability to do for ourselves.
Exactly. I agree 100%. And the thing about it I forgot the governor's name, DeSantis, a fool. But anyway, and nobody stands up for us. It has to be us. If we haven't recognized yet that there's nobody else standing up for us, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We have to unify. And because nobody says anything about the Holocaust being on the TV, radio, books every day, every week, every month. Nobody's saying, denying that, you know. But they don't want our story told because our story is the truth and it will uncover many a lie that's been told, you know, and put them in a bad light. But, something is definitely amiss. Things are coming to a head. Things are being exposed. and there's no denying it. That's their real problem. They have nothing to come back with because it is the truth that's being spoken. It's the truth that's being exposed, you know.
They can't handle the truth.
Right.
Yeah, that's
right.
What it is. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's this young man. I'm going to say maybe he's in his 30s. He's a doctor. He's a PhD. And I think I mentioned it last podcast. His name is Dr. Umar, U-M-A-R, Johnson. And he's on YouTube and TikTok and all of that, and he's saying everything that we, when I say we, I'm talking about our generation, the older generation, has lived through and has, you know, still fighting with. And he's exposing it all, like, what's that man's name? Jonathan Majors, this black actor who is in the movie Creed 3. Now, I don't know the movie. I know what it's about, but I haven't seen it. But anyway, he is supposed to be this breakout star from this movie. And it's a new movie that's out now. And he got into alleged altercation with his girlfriend.
I saw that
who
today.
Is white. Yeah.
Oh, she's
and,
white?
Yeah. And so he is being vilified all over the place. He's already lost proposed contracts, allegedly. I'm just what I heard today. And Dr. Umar Johnson, I came across him today on the TikTok, and he is on this campaign to try to get black men to understand really what the dynamic is of interracial love between black and white, especially black women black men and white women. And he talked about how this guy's career is over with. He's been on a couple of television shows this past week about how good he was in that film and all of that. But they're tearing him down and all of this. He even told shared that the lady went to the hospital, but she didn't have any bruises or anything. If you look on the internet and see this guy, I mean, if he hit you, I mean, there'd be not only a bruise, there'd be a dent in your body, but that's how big he is. But it's that... it is what it is. He called it that it's not real relationships that are going on. It's a fetish that is going on. And I don't know what to say. I tell you, it's just so overwhelming, the chaos in our world and how people are just going nuts, all kinds of behaviors. It's scary. To me, it's scary. That guy, Mr. Wilde, what's the guy's name that was the first black, he was first black coach, I don't know whether it's basketball or what, his name was Uduke something, he was dating the black actress. Do you know who I'm talking about? He lost his job because of goodness gracious, my senior mind. His wife, I see her face right now, but I can't pull her name up. His name was Nduke. It's basketball. Basketball is a sport. He became the first black coach. He lost his job because he had a relationship with one of the white boss's wife. And so he lost his job. He lost his relationship. Oh, my God. What is her name? You know who I'm talking about?
No, I don't follow American sports.
Okay.
Because
well,
it's nothing but profit. It's capitalism.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
So
it's,
I gave up.
They're just.
I gave up on it.
Yeah, but I just use that example of
mm-hmm.
how these relationships, as Dr. Umar Johnson is explaining them, is that they aren't real relationships. That they are fetishes. That, you know, oh yeah, I'm dating a black man or what have you, and the black man turning his back on the black woman and going to a white woman. It's, I mean, there's so many layers to that psychology about that black-white relationship. But what happens in the end, these guys are losing their careers over it, you know. And you don't even hear anything about the woman that was involved if she was white, you know. So, okay. Let me go. Thank you. Okay. Black woman's blues. Black woman's blues is more than her monthly misery. Black woman's blues has a long history. Black woman's blues is wondering if her male child will grow past puberty. Black woman's blues is being depicted aggressive and manly. Black woman's blues is seeing her man being shut out by society. Black woman's blues is knowing too many sisters head families. Black woman's blues is having her beauty ignored. Black woman's blues is shoe stores never having a size larger than 9. Black woman's blues is having her lover wish she'd let her hair grow long and dye it blonde. Black woman's blues is forgetting to take her own advice. Black woman's blues is having to pay dues not once but twice. Black woman's blues is knowing this list is endless.
I like that.
Yeah. I
you
need that.
A lot of
I need that.
Very...
I'm sorry.
No, I was just bearing witness saying so very, very true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You covered a lot of areas.
And you know, that also, that's another thing that's trending on the Lord have mercy, Lisa. On the internet, on the TikTok and the YouTube is the so-called discord between black men and black women. And I don't know if I should say so-called. I think they're blowing it out of proportion on purpose. And it's just another way to keep us divided. And we've got to get to the point where we have to tune this stuff out and focus on us, you know. But I don't know the answer, you guys. I don't. Okay. Oh, excuse me. excuse me 1 second. Go ahead, Mo. I'm walking to the door to let Mo out. She's looking at me like I'm crazy. Go ahead. Go pee-pee. Go pee-pee.
Give yourself a swallow of water. Take care of yourself.
Yeah. You know, I have, I had to be outside today for a very long period of time. And so it's pretty bad today. I mean, how I'm feeling with this allergy. And I wish I had been smart enough to have taken a mask with me, you know, and I didn't do that. I'm going to make sure I have one in my purse every day wherever I go because this is the season. You know. Okay.
excuse me, White Forks Tank.
Oh, God. Now Mo's trying to get, wait a minute, you guys. This is terrible. I am so sorry.
Okay. All right. Well, why are you doing that?
Mo, go ahead.
Why are you doing that? Your program this afternoon has been on target. Culture, counterculture, the woke, the no, you can't say that because we don't want you to cause our little white children to feel bad. And the whole thing is that we as a people, we can keep sitting around and watch them take away everything that mm-hmm. our ancestors worked for.
That's
worked
right.
for. And mm-hmm. we run around here talking about, we sit in these churches, on these buildings on Sunday morning, jumping up and down, hooping and hollering, and not invoking the power of the deity on our behalf the way our ancestors did. And that's the only reason that we are able to vote. That's the only reason we are able to ride at the front of the bus.
Right.
Our ancestors knew what they were doing and knew that their right. creator was going to provide. And yet you got right. these white males, politicians, who are a dying breed. They are in the process of fighting against everything that our ancestors were able to create, or not create,
mm-hmm.
but able to bring into reality.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened is we think that they are fighting us. No, they're not fighting us. They're fighting God. The God that
mm-hmm.
we serve is who
mm-hmm.
they are fighting, because
mm-hmm.
their God is supporting what they're doing. So
mm-hmm.
we don't need to be retaliating against what they're saying or doing. We can do our own. We got these buildings that's empty from Sunday morning to
right.
Sunday morning. We got people sitting
right.
in the pews that are teachers, doctors, psychologists, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
We can have
right.
school in those buildings during the week.
That's right.
We don't need
That's
to be
right.
waiting for them to
amen,
tell
amen,
our
amen.
Story.
Amen,
we need to tell
amen,
our own
amen.
Story.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's why
one
we're
of the things that bothers me and breaks my heart is I wonder sometimes what we are thinking about. I was watching the news all weekend, and they were showing pictures of Trump's rally down in Waco. I saw black faces, and that just broke my heart. What are we
mm-hmm.
thinking?
Well, some of us, some people say that they are being paid.
All right, I'm sure of that. No, I take that back. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you this. We need to join in unity. And together, and when we get that done and weed out those who are too confused about who they are, we could be dynamic. We were before integration. We had great communities in which all the doctors, the lawyers, the teachers, the milkman, whomever, all lived in the same community. We had respect for one another. If you did something wrong a block away from the house, before you could get back to your house, that neighbor had already talked to your mother and father. And when you got home, your mother, your father at the door said, pick a switch. You know? And your leg
yeah,
got torn
right.
up. So, yeah, we're way off course. We've got to get back to it. I just don't know how to do it. But part of it is unifying.
I don't.
You know. And
I think we were more unified when we were Negroes than because we became Afro-American. And then they changed to African-Americans. And you, Negro, just mean black. Black.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you look at it, that's the universal term for black. And now, you know, you got blacks, you got African-American, you got all these different groups within the race, how they identify themselves. And you're right. We're going to have to figure out a way to reunite.
Yeah. Let me share this with you. This is called Makes No Difference. Wrote that a long time ago. Anyway, when blacks started getting local offices, you know, being elected to office. Okay. Because I lived in a city that every main, every main office of the city government was all headed by somebody black. But there was no improvement in our community. So let me, this call, Make No Difference. Why doesn't having a black mayor, black school superintendent, black police commission make any difference in our state? It just doesn't equate. We're still unemployed and filling the jails. Our children are dropping out before they are failed. Too frequently complaints of police brutality file in with racism's ugly taint. And so I ask again, what difference does it make in our fate to have a black takeover? The inequities just get bolder, too much to expect? Or is it the super nig syndrome I detect? The biggest illusion that was perpetrated on us was Barack Obama becoming president. Because, and I mean, that was a wonderful thing. We need the representation and all of that and inspiration and blah, blah. But it did nothing for us as a people. But yet during his administration, he created a special office for his, I forgot the exact title. I don't know what whether it was Hispanic and Latino commission or whatever. Do you remember that? He had created a whole department for that. Nobody's creating anything for black folks, you know. But I know they were probably following him when he was brushing his teeth in the morning, so it wasn't too much he could do. That's the biggest magic trick they pulled. But anyway. Let me go back. Okay.
You got water, Lucy?
I got water here. I got Coca-Cola here.
Yeah,
I got chewing gum to try to keep my throat wet, but it's not working. I was outside for a few hours. It couldn't be avoided, and I had nothing to cover. I really didn't think about it until, you know, I started coughing and stuff. Okay.
I got a friend, the pollen is giving her a hard time, too.
Yeah, it messes with your eyes, your throat, your nose, your everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This one has a cuss word in it, but I'm not going to say the cuss word, okay? I'm just going to say S. Did you all hear me?
I did. Yes,
yeah,
I heard.
Okay.
We heard you.
1950s auction block. That's the title. Black women on street corners, dressed, pressed, starched, greased, smiling, pleased. Waiting to get picked to clean up Mrs. S. And back in the day, that's how they got jobs. Just like black men also would form on corners, whatever, and the powers that be for whatever company they had or job they had would, you know, pick people out of the group standing there and take them to work for the day. The same thing with women. That's how they would get picked to go work at some rich white folks' house, you know. But
yeah.
I tell you, Lord, okay, let's see. I need to find something funny. This ain't nothing funny. You know, there's so much. And they just flashed. My TV is on in front of me, but I have it on mute. But they just showed that guy I was telling you about. He's been arrested. Jonathan Majors, the breakout movie star from the movie Creed. They just arrested for assault and aggravated something. I tell you.
Yeah, they showed him
that
morning on CBS.
Say that again.
They showed him a piece this morning on CBS.
Oh, okay.
I think the so-called girlfriend was changing her mind about what she told them, and she was trying to change her story now and saying something that didn't really happen the way she said it, and she wasn't going to press any charges.
Well, I wish you could hear Dr. Umar Johnson. He jumped on that on the Internet today. He said, have you seen this man? He's a big hunk of a man, and if he touched you, you would have bruises. You'd have purple bruises. You had red bruises. This is what he was saying in response. He said, but yet the hospital report only says she had a couple of scratches, you know. But see, the damage is already done. It doesn't make any difference. This is, you know, an entitled person. You can make this charge, you know.
I'll say this, and then maybe sometimes they bring things on themselves.
Oh, I'm not taking up for him, you know, because I like to punch him in the nose for getting in that
too.
Situation.
That's the way that I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, is true, and also history is just repeating itself.
Mm-hmm.
History, lots of black men have been hung because white women lied on them.
Right.
And it wasn't the black man that was after the white woman. It was the white woman after the black man.
Right.
And
well,
she got caught. So she lied.
And know that.
That's
our men know that history, and they still think they're an exception.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point I'm making. They know that.
Yep.
And still
yep.
they go that way.
Yep.
I hate to say it
because
I say that to my husband sometimes, and sometimes the person that they're going to has no character at all.
At all.
None.
Well, that's what Dr. Johnson said. He said.
Right, none.
He said, and they don't get the top of the lot. They get the lowest in the lot.
That's right. But still, they run that way. And so it's just a matter of time. Trouble going to come your way because you're just waiting for trouble to come your way.
Yep.
Know that.
And then
when
that real argument comes about and you get called nigger, you know, instead of honey.
That's right.
But anyway, you would think that they know, but maybe they choose to ignore it. Maybe they don't care. I don't know. I think part of it is that they don't know the history.
What to avoid. I just think they make bad choices.
I do too.
Yeah.
I think they know the history. They make bad choices.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, whenever you look, compare the black woman with the white woman, I know my son, whenever he was coming on, he's 50, 51, 52. The white girl was easier. The black girl were not in terms of, in terms of their extracurricular activities.
Morals and standards.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. So, you know, and he was a little superstar soccer player. So, and then, you know what, in Columbia, Maryland, they made it clear. The white girls went for the soccer players, okay? And what was left was the football players who they put in a category that they was the bottom. So they didn't want the football players. They wanted the soccer players and the basketball players. But that was what my daughter who grew up there, that's what they were faced with. The black girls in Columbia in the 70s and 80s, they had very few choices.
That's right.
But, you know,
you're right.
Another point that Dr. Johnson said was about the economics of it. They go for the rich black man, and then he ends up, when he's out of the picture, that money goes back to the white community.
White community,
I mean, look
that's
at,
right.
Look at Tiger
right.
Woods' wife. Tiger Woods, that lady got over $100 million in divorce settlement. And where is she? She's back in her country. I forgot where she was from. But
now, you saw all those girls he called himself running around with. Did any of them look like us?
No.
Nope.
No.
Right. None of them looked like us.
No, he didn't learn anything. Not even one.
Not even one looked like us.
Yeah. I got to write something down about that. Just popped into my head. Because sometimes a line just came in my head that says, you didn't like your mama? You understand what I'm saying?
No.
But a lot of...
households, we know, are run
by women. And
look,
a lot
I'm
of
I'm going to have to get off one
women.
Minute. My little grandson is coming.
Oh.
I'll get back on.
Oh, okay.
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 DJ's here.
And black women run these households on very little salary, taking one or two part-time jobs to make things work, to keep her family together, to give what she can give to her children, and she neglects herself. She doesn't have her hair straightened. She doesn't have money to get her nails done, you know. She may not have enough money for better clothing. And so when all the images out there are of white women being the exact opposite, and then here comes mama up to the school with her nappy hair, with her less expensive dress, he's embarrassed because he's inundated daily with these images of what is supposed to be. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it's the same thing. This affected us black women more ways than one, because the only image that we had really of how it's supposed to be has been images for decades of white women on TV, in commercials, and the flowing hair, and the smooth skin, and the this, that, and the other, you know? So we end up looking like them women on Real Housewives of Atlanta. I'm laughing because I think they're beautiful women. If they throw all those wigs in the trash, peel those eyelashes off, you know, we're the real beauties. We're the real standard of beauty. And that's coming back. That's coming to the forefront again. But we have suffered with all these images being shoved on us, and you've seen nothing opposite that. You know, in our generation, you know, we ain't seen nothing but white folks on TV. And the first time I saw a black woman on TV, remember the Amos and Andy show?
Yes.
Yep.
And Sapphire.
Yep.
Yes. Yes.
Loud, aggressive. That's how she was depicted, you know.
Yeah.
Argumentative. So I tell you, and when you saw the white folks, you saw Leave It to Beaver's mother with her bracelets on and her earrings and her crisp, her crisp apron on, standing at a stove. Ain't no smoke nowhere. You know what I mean? Let me stop. Yeah, we have struggled every inch of life and living and understanding by trying to counter those. We haven't tried to counter those images. We've tried, excuse me, to copy those images instead.
Yes.
You know? And we need to stop. Let it go. Let them go. And let's look at our own magnificence.
And that starts with us.
Yeah, most definitely. Can somebody tell me what time it is, please?
I have 7:47.
Okay. Okay, you make it to the end. Let's see. I was looking for some, again. I do have some funny stuff. I just can't put my, I guess my mind isn't really on it. But, okay, since we're talking about how we haven't countered those images, we tried to copy those images instead of looking at our own beauty, our own strength. And one of the people, I need to one day sit down and put dates on my home. But, and I know I've done this one before. It's called Sunday's Rump Roast. And this is about the fashion designer Willie Smith. And he died in 1987. He was born in 1948. So he's in our group. But anyway, he was in Paris. He became a huge designer over there in Europe. But he loved his blackness. And that's what he started catering to and became famous for. He had a line of clothes called Willie Wear. And I said before, his sister, Tukey Smith, was a black model. And her, I don't know if she was married to him, but they were together for years with Robert De Niro. So anyway, he used his sister as a model for his clothing, because the European fashions had no room for hips. And so Willie designed for the black woman's body. So ample, round, substantial, cushioned, fat fanny, wide ride. Willie Smith understood African hips, designing skirts and pants that flattered and fit, thunderbuns, wide tracks, black booties, fat back. Yeah, Willie appreciated African hips, savored them like Sunday's rump roast.
Yeah, Can I make a slight comment? Men's Warehouse bought Joseph A. Banks, and everything now is European cut. And for black men, it doesn't fit properly.
Mm-hmm.
I used to go to Joseph A. Banks all the time when I was there in Baltimore.
I remember that brand.
Yeah. You go there now and buy a pair of slacks, they do not fit.
Because black men got buns.
That's right.
They got buns, they got thighs. Yep. They got shoulders, you know.
Yep.
But that's our fault. We got artists in our community. We got designers in our community. Support them. Don't wait until the month, the once yearly African American festival comes around, and then you go buy something from one of the stalls. Go find where that person is housed. Start buying there. Share that information with someone else. You know, we, like you said, Willie, we have it all. We have it, but we're too timid in our support of one another. We got to do better. You know, got to do better.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let me see. I am determined to find something funny before I get off here. Let me see.
Yeah.
Isn't that, I mean, this is weird. I do have funny stuff, but every page I'm turning is too, let me see. Oh, shoot. This isn't really funny, but I'm going to read this. But the way I wrote it is kind of weird anyway. Let me see. Melvin Slick Johnson. You see him when he comes to the family reunion. He's over middle age, but he still wears his shirt open, and he got the gold chain, you know. Might have one gold tooth. He got a big old ring on his little pinky finger, okay? Anyway, Mr. Melvin Slick Johnson. Slick was his, you know, his nickname. He was a bad motor scooter. Everybody knew his name. Designer suits and silk shirts were the trademarks of his game. He was a bad dab daddy. Kept his due, sleek and fine, like black patent leather. His locks were greased and spit shined, you know, like Al Sharpton. He was a bad mamma jamma. Four gold caps on his smile. Never mind he never visited or spent a dime on his child. He was a bad lover man. Sweet talked a whole lot of skirts. A lover man leave him sugar daddy, who left a long trail of hurt. He was a lonely old fool, who eventually reaped what he sowed. He thought he'd always be cool. He thought he'd never grow old. That's it.
Sound like my cousin, who's a barber there in New Jersey. He was Mr. Smooth. That daddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think every family of ours had at least one.
My uncle, we had an uncle.
And do you know that, and this was surprising to me. I wasn't surprised that men used to get perms and all of that. I can go all the way back to the Platters and remember their hair and Nat King Cole, you know,
right,
and all of
right.
that. But you know what they're doing now? These men can go in the barbershop and get, they used to call it a toupee. I don't know what they call it now.
They can go
in bald and come out transformed with long locks. Have you seen that?
Oh, yes. Yes.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Some of them fit very well, and some of them you can tell they cheat.
Yeah. But it just amazed me the way men would talk about black women's hair. They in there doing the same thing.
Yeah.
They can get weaves. They can get curls. They can get that thing glued on top.
They sure
can. But the technology is amazing. It's amazing what they can do. But anyway. Okay, let's see. Do I have time for another?
No, you don't have time for another one. But you do need to take care of that congestion.
Yeah, I'm going to gargle again when I get off the phone. It just feels it feels like my throat is covered with pollen. That's what it feels like.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. In my
it's only three
eyes.
Minutes.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to say thank you again for listening, and I appreciate it. And one day you will hear a whole podcast of brand new poems.
Oh, wow. Oh, wonderful. And we thank you for sharing your talent with us.
That's right.
Oh, thank you. Okay. I'm going to say good night, folks, and we'll see you in April.
Good night.
All right. Good night.
All righty. Good night.